You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the Morning is on now.
Hour number two underway here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Corey Parson, Fantasy Executive, Greg Sussman, Tony Sicada, we're all here hanging out. It's got an annual day off today. We're talking a little NBA from last night in honor of Scotty. That's what he would want to talk about right
Yep,
now.
You know, that's his favorite thing right now. Scott's got it going. I think last night would make his second night creating a DFS lineup. Hopefully he did better than me because I am struggling.
Yeah, we're all struggling right now.
So I'm not just slow out the box. I'm like, it's like legit. No. My piece is not hitting.
Yeah,
the family piece is on hitting.
Something like that.
Because you're not doing. You didn't have a good night.
No.
Tony didn't have a good night.
No.
But it seems like that damn Benny always has a good night, though.
Man, Benny walked. Benny strutted his stuff in here yesterday. He walked in pumped.
Cheater.
Yeah. The Washington Wizards defeated Memphis last night 104-101. You had 25 points from John Wall,
13
assists, a couple steals and a block, 25-7 from Otto Porter, 6-8 from behind the arc, Tom.
Yeah, this is a team that we talk about fantasy-wise that they're the mecca for fantasy owners because you get 30-plus minutes every night. They don't go deep. Markieff Morris is on a roll right now,
and
he's a guy you got to look to play. Now, Otto Porter, this is only one ball in basketball. Remember that. Sometimes he's the guy that gets squeezed out in this offense on occasion. When you have John Wall, you have Bradley Beal, you look at Markieff Morris playing well, he becomes the fourth option, sometimes the fifth option with Marcin Gortat. So it's hard to get in love with Otto Porter. I think he's a fine player. I really think that he's got immense talent. That Kelly Oubre's got a lot of talent there, too. Like, I think it's a very good Washington team that's underachieved thus far this season.
I don't know why they've underachieved. It seems like the pieces are just starting to be, just start to come together. Morris was a guy Morris was a guy I heard you and Benny talking about on the lineup lock show yesterday. Had him in a lineup, and of course, I resorted to taking him out. So there you go right there.
Yeah.
I did that with Durant last night. I was like, oh, man, that one hurt.
Was Otto Porter on the Roy Hibbert team, or was that he was on the Greg Monroe team? What team was Otto Porter on in D.C.?
Porter was not on.
Either of those teams?
Porter came later.
He didn't have either of the centers on his team? Jeff Green was on the Hibbert team.
Yeah, Jeff Green was on the Hibbert team. Because that team had a couple deep tournament runs. Otto Porter had a deep tournament run.
He didn't have a deep tournament run?
Yeah, so I think he came later on and when they were not playing as well in college ball. Right. Definitely, he never played a game against the University of Maryland, though.
No, of course not.
No. Fair to turtle.
It would have lost.
Otto Porter wasn't ready for that action.
No, of course not. Marcin Gortat, 7-11 last night. Otto Porter was somebody that you just talked about that I actually was very on last year. He was one of my guys in season-long last year that I picked everywhere. However, I ain't grabbing him this year because for the exact reason you mentioned, Tony, I thought he would be the one that kind of like falls out of the offense a bit. And some games he does, some games he doesn't. Obviously, last night was not one of the games he did not. Marc Gasol, 28-7, and he's just turned into a three-point shooter now, Tony. Talking about those guys, he went 0-3 last night, but he shoots threes every game now.
Oh, yeah, he loves it, too. Marc Gasol, I'll tell you what, he's really evolved offensively, too. He was a guy when he first came in the league, defense only, and he's really offense. It just shows you, though, Kawhi Leonard's another guy that came in the league. Jimmy Butler, another guy that came in the league. Not great offense. If you just work at your game, you can get so much better. It's just all practice because those three guys were not good offensive players.
I know last season, you were able to sneak some of these guys in. Every now and then you would catch them at a price point where it would make it worthwhile. I just didn't really see it at the 72 last night, but he did came in there and put up a nice game. And then with the rest of the Wizards lineup, the Memphis lineup, I have a difficult time figuring out where the points are going to come from on this team. That's why I don't go to them much, but it came from Marc Gasol last night.
Yeah, it came from Marc Gasol, and it's frustrating because I really liked Zach Randolph last night. I played Zach Randolph last night.
Debo.
3 of 14 from the field. 6 points and 9 rebounds. That's not going to get the job done.
No, and it's like, where's he shooting the ball from that he misses that many shots?
I have no idea.
Exactly, because Debo do his work underneath the basket. He should have been able to get the job done.
Super
there.
Easy. Jermichael Green had a big game. He had 15 points, 13 rebounds. He is the one guy, Tony, you talked about players you dropped, picked up this year. I picked him up and dropped him three different times so far.
It's funny you say that because it came down to Terrence Jones and Jermichael Green.
Yeah.
Basically who I had to cut. I kept Green because he just had more consistent playing time.
Yeah, I actually.
If I was an NBA GM,
right.
I would have Terrence Jones on my team.
It's funny because I went the other way. I kept Jones and cut Green because Green was just really pissing me off at the time.
It's about you.
It's my team. Of course it's about me.
I guess so.
Conley had 20 and 6 for Memphis. It was a good game here. Like I said, the 104-1 victory for Washington. The Detroit Pistons beat up Atlanta last night, 118-95. And a guy that I really liked last night, and I played actually, was Marcus Morris.
Yep.
Because once John Lohr was ruled out, we already knew that Kentavious Caldwell-Pope was not going to play. I thought Morris would have a big game along with Tobias Harris, and they both did. Marcus had 14, 10, and 7. You know the minutes are always there. He had 36 minutes. Tobias Harris saw 27 minutes. He had 19 and 5. Reggie Jackson, 26 and 5, while Andre Drummond put up 13 and 17.
I'll tell you what. I liked Tobias Harris in that one, and I did like Morris, those two guys, against a team that doesn't defend the front court well. It's crazy because they have not a lot of talent on the Detroit team, and they've become very poor defensively. But all three of those guys that play out of the power forward, small forward position with Morris, when Lur comes back, it's bad because all three guys can play, and they just get in each other's playing time.
Creates a logjam, and you don't really know where to go to for DFS purposes. Do you guys think Stan Van Gundy's a good coach?
He was in the hot seat recently, I read.
Yeah.
People
he
didn't.
Should be,
I don't have.
He's been there a while without doing anything.
It's true. Mm. John Lohr from.
Ooh. Michigan.
His mother.
Close. That's correct, Tony. Very close to Michigan. Not Michigan State.
Minnesota.
Very close. You're right there.
Ohio State.
No.
No, he didn't play for Ohio State.
No.
He couldn't. Well, let me not say he couldn't make that team. He's in the NBA. He could have made any team.
Yes.
I said Wisconsin.
There you go.
There you go.
Yeah, drafted by the Milwaukee Bucks.
Too close to Minnesota. I should have known Wisconsin.
Yes, sir. I didn't realize how many teams John Lohr has played for already. Drafted by Milwaukee, then went to the Rockets, the Cavs, the Grizzlies, the Suns, and now he's on the Pistons.
Wow,
I didn't realize it was all those teams either.
He's a journeyman already.
Journeyman already, John Lohr. Who knew? Not us, obviously.
No, apparently not.
No. Reggie Bullock, Tony, starting for Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. He had a bad night the night before, and then last night placed 36 minutes. 15, 6, and 4. If KCP doesn't play again in their next game, we're going to have to consider Reggie Bullock, right?
Yeah, because Stanley Johnson was the guy that we thought would get the minutes.
He played 32.
So Stanley's the guy that's playing in that 2 spot, and what they do is he just stands there. He goes over the three-point line, and he stands and waits. And they never throw him the ball. every once in a while, the shot clock will get down, they'll throw him the ball, and he'll have to shoot it, and he'll hit a three-pointer, or he'll miss. But he's not Fantasy Russell. I don't think either one of those guys are, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, okay. Not even DFS. You can't play Reggie Bullock?
You could take a shot, depending on the matchup and how many games there are, but not someone I'm looking to target. I think that it could easily be a Ron Baker night in the middle.
He burgundied.
That's what we're going to call it now.
Yeah, he called it a burgundy night.
Oh, yeah, I was going to call it the Baker Axe, but
a burgundy night. He burgundied us. Reggie Bullock a burgundy you.
Yes.
Trust me on that one.
Who do you think is a better player, Reggie Bullock or his brother Randy Bullock, the former kicker for the Houston Texans and New York
Giants?
That's
his real-life brother?
No.
Oh, okay.
Again, one's white and one's not.
Oh, okay. I'm about to say.
Nowadays, that doesn't mean anything. Yeah.
Make America great
again. We are the world.
You know, the creator of that song was also was black and white. It's true.
Oh, really? Okay, there you go.
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
Michael Jackson.
Michael Jackson didn't have no
waiting?
I mean, I'm not going to say that. You know what I mean? I just got here. Yeah, Michael Jackson.
I don't think it was Michael. It wasn't Michael there on the song.
No,
right?
It was Quincy Jones.
Yeah, Quincy Jones.
I think you give more credit to Quincy Jones for Real
World. Oh, I agree. Yeah. I thought it was both of them. Okay, you're wrong. The writers are Michael Jackson and Lionel Richie.
Wow, how about that?
Producers were Quincy Jones and Michael Martian.
Quincy Jones.
Mm-hmm. Lionel Richie, he's had a full life.
Yeah, this will be the time. Scott's not here. He'll say it again. You know, Scotty just wants to go to the Lionel Richie Mariah concert. What do you think?
I don't know if that's a good concert.
are you surprised that Lionel Richie's the headliner there?
You would think.
Yeah, I was. When I first saw it, like, for two reasons.
Okay.
One, I can't believe Mariah allowed it herself to open for that guy.
Right. It's weird.
That is weird.
Unless she's just like, you know what, I'm going to sing like three songs and get paid and get out of here.
Yeah, I can see Mariah doing that too, after the New Year's Eve performance.
Right, and by sing, I mean kind of just stand there and have a track play in the background. Yeah,
exactly.
I don't mean
and sing. Walk around scantily clad and you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And make Scott tongue drop on the floor. Mm-hmm. You know he's a Mariah Carey supporter.
Who is it?
I'm not a supporter.
I could look at it.
Yeah, but she's also had some very, like, crazy relationships that always end poorly.
They do.
So it makes you think that everybody can't be wrong. So it's something wrong with her.
Oh, I watched a reality show. There's a lot wrong with her. I'll never forget. I was in South Dakota one time. Right.
Yeah.
There's nothing to do. No. I'm working in South Dakota, so I'm flipping the channels and I see this reality show, and I'm fixated on it. Like, I don't know who these people are, but they're out of their mind, and they're really wacky, and they're on all sorts of drugs, and I'm wondering how they have a show. It was Whitney Houston and Bobby Brown.
Yeah, well, there you go right there. Hey, speaking of which, Tone, next week, BET is premiering the new edition miniseries, documentary/miniseries. You came up in Boston in that era, right?
Yeah, so I played high school basketball against Bobby Brown.
How about that?
He went to one of the richest schools. He was a part of a Metco program where they took people from the inner city. He went to one of the richest schools. Like, I love how all these rappers have like all these stories about the hot streets. He went to school in the same town as Mitt Romney.
You would never think that Bobby Brown grew up in the town that Mitt Romney was in. But yeah, when I saw that, I immediately thought about you. I was like, yeah.
And me and Bobby both played about 4 minutes in that game.
They were big. New Edition was a big thing, Greg, when they were popular.
Sure, yeah.
Even when they weren't popular, New Edition go on tour now.
That's funny.
Yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
They had some jams. Mm. New Edition. Now, when it comes to Mariah Carey, I would definitely think that being the diva that she is, that she would be the headliner. But I guess Lionel Richie stands the test of time. Was it Lionel Richie or Al Green who had the hot grits thrown on him by that woman?
I thought it was neither. I thought it was Rick James, but maybe. I thought it was Rick James.
That's a bad feeling because grits stick to you. Like that doesn't just slide off. That heat. I would press charges. I'd have put the woman behind
you
bars.
Would?
Yeah. Oh yeah. You throw hot grits on me.
It depends on what you did to get to that point. Al Green was the guy that got the hot grits out.
Oh, it was Al Green. Oh. Legendary Al Green.
Have you ever had anything thrown at you, Greg, by a woman?
No.
Good. You should live a little longer.
No.
I had an experience that was I had a steak and cheese sub thrown at me.
Oh.
Really?
Yeah.
What did you do to earn that?
I told her, how long have we been married? You didn't know that I don't like peppers?
That'll do it. I had a table thrown at me.
What'd you do? Huh? What'd you do?
I had a, full disclosure. I had slid into a DM, and I left the computer open, and she was like, "What's this?" And I was like, "Oh no!" I tried to explain it like it's not that bad, you know what I mean? The conversation wasn't that bad, at least I didn't think so. She thought differently. Yeah, she the table. I was like, "Oh." Superhuman strength. The table came. It was like it wasn't like a folding table. It was like the table in the house. And I was like, "Oh,
did the table break?
No, you almost hit the baby." You know what I'm saying? Like, gee, relax.
Oh boy, that didn't go well for you.
No, I felt bad about that. That's when I started changing my life, though.
Really?
Oh, that's yeah. Yeah, you started dating one with no muscle tone.
Is that what it was for
no,
you?
No, I took it down a notch and I stopped sliding in DMs and stuff like that.
But now you're back.
Well, I'm single now, so I can slide in DMs.
So wait, so this woman took you back? You're saying? After that moment,
like yeah, she did. You know, she was upset. You know, and she held it over my head for a long time.
That's the problem though. When you stay in situations like this, for the people out there, they never forget. You're never forgiven.
No, you don't. I actually was brought up again recently.
Really?
Yeah.
Were you single?
We have a daughter together, so we communicate. Right. And, I was talking about how I've, changed my life from those days. And she was like, "You're full of shit." Basically, she said, "You're full of shit. You did not change nothing."
And you said, "Yeah, you're right, man."
Yes, yeah, exactly. I didn't have to lie at that point.
You don't have to lie. No reason to lie.
No reason,
I'm just one of Jesus's children.
I'm trying to make it every day. Every day is a struggle. You know what I mean?
But you know, poor Joel Osteen.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't have five fireplaces, you know what I mean? It didn't work out.
No, I'm sorry. You tried to make it work again. That was nice.
No, I was just, you know.
You always try to make it work for a night.
I wasn't trying to get back, you know what I'm saying? Just kind of was like, you know.
What up?
No, it wasn't even like that. It was a conversation we were having. We were talking about something that came in the mail for my daughter. And, you know, the conversation got a little deeper, whatever the case may be. And I was like, "Oh, no, I'm a different guy now." And she was like, "You're right. You're a different guy." And, you know, whatever.
So she wasn't sliding any DMs, you're saying?
Yeah. No, she wasn't hearing. And, I try not to go backwards, Greg. I try to look ahead. The employees at Rock and Rock. It's not let me stop.
You're a lot like Mark McGuire.
Yes, I did not take steroids.
You sure?
Positive.
No Viagra?
No performance enhancers. I still young man.
Okay, just making sure. All right, we'll take a break. You'll come back. We'll look DFS tonight and we'll win a baseball after that. Stick around. Roto Experts in the morning continues after this. Are you a tennis fan?
No. I watch Wimbledon, though. I like watching Wimbledon. I don't know why that one. I love watching.
So,
July 4th, sit back, watch that.
I kind of think, I like, just kind of follow tennis peripherally, right? Like, you know, I just know the names or whatever. Nikola Djokovic, or Novak Djokovic, not Nikola. Novak Djokovic.
I'm about to say Nikola.
his younger brother. Novak Djokovic, number one player in the world. Lost in the first round of the Australian Open to a wild card entry. One of the they're calling it one of the biggest upsets in tennis in a decade or so.
When these type of things happen, do you ever think like he's got somewhere to go?
Oh
no!
Maybe he needed to get somewhere. You're right. I never thought about that.
Nah, he seemed pretty pissed.
You know when Serena took the big loss a couple years ago?
Oh, here, right?
Yeah. I was in Vegas that weekend.
Yeah, she called you?
And I'm telling you, I was walking past the sports book thinking, let me put $5 on the other girl. And I didn't do it.
I'm probably at good odds, right?
Oh my goodness, it was unbelievable.
Yeah.
I don't remember what it was. It was like Floyd Mayweather. It was those type of odds where it's like, okay, you're not going to lose.
Right. Well, yeah. It was interesting because that was the semifinals, right? It was the semifinal at the US Open here, and she was going for the Serena Slam.
Yeah.
You were in Vegas for opening week in the NFL because it was right around the same time.
Exactly. Right? That's what it was. It was 2 years ago, and two years ago.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I was thinking to myself, well, this would be a good time to put $5, because you're not going to make no money betting on Serena, not at that point when she was going for the Serena Slam. But yeah,
it's funny you say that, because I saw someone on Twitter, like, they bet like 50 grand on the Patriots to win last this week money line. Just to win outright. They bet like 50 grand to win like 3 grand.
Yeah.
Something like,
yeah,
crazy exactly. like that.
That's what it's like trying to bet on Serena or Floyd.
Yeah.
I was the type. I had a party at my house the night that Mike Tyson fought James Buster Douglas.
Right,
never forget that.
And I said, "How much money do we have here? Like, why don't we just get like $100,000 between us and just put it on Mike Tyson? We're not going to get a lot back, but it's the easiest money we've ever made, right? Mm-hmm. Can you imagine if that happened?
Oh
so
you know boy!
What, so okay, I know this is ridiculous, but along the same lines, like every year, like you can bet on wrestling, right? You if you're not in America, but like there's ways to bet on wrestling.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Really, you can bet on wrestling as a script,
right? So basically, when you see the bets come in like 20 minutes to go, like you know that those are the real results because like by then somehow someone told their mother, who told their whatever, yeah. right? So every year we were talking about making wrestling parlays and like figuring out a way to do it. We're like, all right, no matter what, because Ozro is astronomical for The Undertaker because he wins WrestleMania every year, right?
That's right.
So like, all right, so every bet we were going to make was include The Undertaker. And we said the same thing, and then he lost to Brock Lesnar a couple years ago. And we're like, oh, shit, we would have lost a lot of money.
Yeah, for real.
Because it was like, bet $100, win $1, something serious like that.
Yeah.
Like, all right, whatever, we'll take the extra dollar, why not? He lost.
Hey, if Floyd was to fight Conor McGregor, would you put money on Conor? Do you think it would be a good amount of money on Conor McGregor?
I think there would be. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Floyd Mayweather will beat the shit out of Conor McGregor.
I think people would like Conor McGregor.
Yeah, I think so too, because Floyd is such a you know a prick. You know what I'm saying? You know, for lack of a better term.
Yeah.
But he's not. If Conor McGregor can't fight, can't get in the ring with Floyd Mayweather.
Right.
Floyd Mayweather needs somebody to fight, though.
What would you do?
Why? Why
would you do though?
Because he got to get to 50-0.
He's got one more.
Yeah, he's got to get to 50-0
to beat.
What if it wasn't a traditional boxing match?
That's right. Tony, what could he do to make it a not traditional match? You look at it right. It's really, is it any way to beat Floyd? Nobody. The biggest match for Floyd, honestly speaking, to go to 50-0.
The big show.
It would be Manny Pacquiao again. Or De La Hoya.
Oh, yeah.
De La Hoya
is too old.
De La Hoya is really old. Pacquiao is boring.
Who can he fight to get to 50 besides Pacquiao?
Scotty McGregor, man.
Oh, McGregor.
That's it.
But McGregor, he would kill McGregor.
He'd kill anybody. It's Floyd, man.
I mean, he wouldn't kill him. He would give him 15 rounds. Yeah. But the card would be 140 to 101.
Well, it would be just a standard Mayweather fight, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, does his thing.
It's boring, but people pay for it on pay-per-view. You know what I mean? They show up, they watch
it. If I was Conor McGregor, I would make sure that I was going to get paid.
Uh-huh.
Well, he won't deal without getting paid.
No, like they can't take the money away from when I get disqualified.
But no,
I am not gonna because I'm not gonna lose the fight in a boring thing, and that's Conor McGregor, like because he's really a flamboyant guy, and if he's gonna go in, there's no shame in losing in a match that you know you don't participate in, but you can't go there and bore people to death for 9 rounds. You got to take that guy out. If it's illegally, you got to do it.
Can you imagine the weigh-in for McGregor Mayweather? That would be a spectacle. would be a spectacle. I'm telling you, what McGregor should do is he should get somebody from Floyd's team to train him. Like, you know how Floyd and his pops always have these things, or Floyd and one of his uncles always have.
Yeah,
he should get one of them. He should get Freddie Roach to train him.
It would be awesome if he could steal. Mayweather's dad's a little out there.
Yeah, he is a lot out there.
If he could steal him away,
yeah. Can you, that would really make it a big story right there. He steals Mayweather's dad to come train him, McGregor. Oh, that would be awesome. You can make a reality television show out of that. You know what I mean? I would. The best thing about it is to actually sit down and see it if it was to take place. But I mean, honestly, Floyd Mayweather, and I dislike Floyd, but he would not lose to Conor McGregor. I just don't see it.
Right.
I get that. No, there's no way. I mean, boxing is an art form.
Yeah, exactly.
And the guy doesn't do it. I'll tell you, though, I really would be interested in the fight because there's no other fight out there.
There's no fight.
Hey, if you think of boxing, I don't know any fight I would tune in for.
Not the heavyweight division is terrible. Everybody talks about Triple G, but we haven't really seen him get in the ring with anybody yet. Andre Ward tends to bring out people, but he's even boring. You know, he took the L last time. Floyd is a big draw because he's Floyd, but who's he going to fight?
I never miss any of the UFC pay-per-views. I see them all, and I love it, and I can't. Boxing to me is now so boring. Now, interesting, though, there's a claim. I forget the guy's name now. I can't believe this. The guy that's on this year pay-per-view, he says racism. He believes the UFC favors the white fighters, and it was out there. And when I looked at the money being paid some of these guys and some of the promotional things that are going on, I was like, wow, he's got some
He has a case? What's his name? John Jones, whatever? I can't
John
think.
Bone Jones?
John Bone Jones.
Here's the problem.
He's always had drug issues.
But here's a big thing with John Jones, right? He couldn't fight because he failed the with steroids. They let Lesnar fight.
Yeah. Yeah, that was why they had to bring Lesnar in, right? Because of John Jones.
Well, no. They were both in the car, and they both failed tests. One fought, one didn't.
Oh, right. Yes, you're right. Yes.
So I don't know. Remember, there was a thing one time. Man, you know what? Speaking of the fight game, not to get off topic, whatever.
Yeah, sure.
Remember at one point, they was talking about Ronda Rousey, you know, possibly in like a unisex match versus Floyd Mayweather?
How crazy.
How crazy would that be? Well, first of all, if you're Floyd, you don't do that, obviously, because you're like, are you trying to make fun of me? Or are you trying to say whatever about me?
No,
if you're Floyd.
Let me ask you a question, though.
She was so blown out of proportion. They were saying that Ronda Rousey was the best female athlete, and I'm like, Serena Williams still plays. You know what I'm saying? What a fraud Ronda Rousey was.
See, the women's division, when she came in, was young and new, right? So there wasn't women at this level. And there wasn't the opponents that there are now. And she basically had one move. She had one style. And now these women are too good. It caught up to her. She didn't get better.
Right. She rested on her laurels a bit.
Yeah,
she didn't develop her game. Like, she had this one armbar move that she made everybody submit, and she had nothing else.
Right.
And that was there. It's funny you say Floyd would never do that because it would be a clown show. If you get paid $150 million, I think he would do it. He seems to...
Floyd, he likes money. Don't make no mistake about that. He likes money. But still, that's a terrible look for him. Can you imagine Rachel Nichols at the press conference? You know what I'm saying? That's a Floyd. That would never happen. But still, the fact that she was blown up that much when she was mediocre and talent from the beginning is crazy.
Yeah,
we had a big week this week though in women's rights, taking a big step forward as we had the first WWE women's steel cage match.
Wow, women's rights taking a big step forward. In the first part of the week, women's rights may take a step back after tomorrow, though. After 45 gets in. Oh, Greg, the liberal media is quiet over there.
The first woman's steel cage match.
I watched that. Yeah.
Did you know you were watching history?
I did, yes. It was the first like on SmackDown, right, not ever. Just a SmackDown.
Yeah. Woman.
Yes.
It'll be like right out there with Rosa Parks.
Yeah, I believe so.
That's a little bit extreme, but you know, it is what it is.
Well, what's an extreme?
My son out of nowhere goes, "Dad, do you know Rosa Parks died in 2005?
Yeah, she had. She was like, held in state, Rosa Parks. I said.
So I looked back and I said, no, I thought it was 2007. I mean, it was just out of the middle of nowhere, out of context. It was a little weird.
That's interesting. All
right. She was held in state, right, Greg?
I don't know what that means.
Like you, it was like a president type.
Oh, yeah.
I think she had that treatment, Rosa Parks.
I think, yeah. To lie in honor at the Capitol Rotunda.
Yeah.
Yeah, Helen State. Yep, yes, sir. All right, we'll take a break here. We'll come back. We'll try to make a DFS lineup. Stick around. It's Roto-X for the morning here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. All right, Tony, let's try to make a lineup here, see what we got. Obviously, only 30, so much changes. So we'll see. See what we can do.
Oh, boy. This is the start of it, huh?
Before we do a little trade in baseball that I saw, and Mike Florio wants me to announce it as well. Dan Straley has been traded from the Cincinnati Reds to the Miami Marlins for a couple of prospects. Tony, Straley had a big year for Cincinnati last year. Now goes to Miami. What do you think?
Well, he gets a huge park upgrade in this one, going from the Great American Small Park to arguably the top pitcher's park in baseball.
Yes. Yes.
I think he was rather lucky, though, last season, to tell you the truth. He's not a guy that strikes out a ton of guys, puts balls in play, and I kept waiting for him to fall on the other foot last year. It never happened. As K per nine rate 7.62, he did log 191 innings, which could be alarming because the year prior to that he had a 138 here. I think he's a serviceable pitcher. I think you look at the ERA around 4. I don't think he's a guy you're going to roster on your team for the whole season.
Yeah, last year he came in under that, a little over 3.5, coming in under that 4, and that's with the in the Great America Small Park. But is he going to have a spot in the rotation?
Yeah, they're not training for him without wanting the rotation.
So if he's locked up, the numbers should be better this season. But I mean, he's a back of the rotation guy, a back of the fan. He's an SP6.
Well, he's a little higher than that.
Yeah, I know.
But you know,
you think so?
Higher than SP6? Yeah, I think so.
SP4?
I wouldn't even draft him.
You think the Australian's undraftable?
I think he's even with the ballpark, I would. The ballpark helps out, but I'm not going to get strikeouts, right?
Right.
And the wins, we can't figure out chase wins. The ERA, I think, comes around 3.5 at best. That's not great in today's baseball. I mean, I don't know.
3.5 is not terrible.
Well, if you look at it in fantasy, right?
Yes, sir.
3.5 is not terrible, but no team has a 4 ERA in your fantasy league.
That's true. That's a good point.
I've always looked at it from, you know, playing rotisserie baseball. The goal is to keep that under 3.5.
Okay.
I try not to rust anybody like, over 3.5.
What was like Adam Conley's ERA last year? People liked Adam Conley, right?
Yeah, well, he's going to give you some strikeouts too.
That's true. Adam Conley, I don't know what his ERA was last year. His ERA was 3.85. Huh.
Yes. So you look at Conley, right, the difference, he has a 8.37 strikeout per nine.
Right.
Now, the problem with Conley, too, you want to walk your whips. Yeah, your whip's going to take a beating there. So he was a guy that I think you liked in DFS as opposed to season-long leagues.
Nothing, but Straley actually had a lower ERA and more strikeouts than Conley last year, interestingly enough. Whip was also lower. Straley was a better pitcher than Conley, as it turned out last year. Huh.
No, he had more strikeouts because he pitched more innings. I mean,
strikeouts?
8.39.
Right, well, what was Straley's? Do you know that? Yeah,
7.62. Okay, 7.62.
Yeah, he pitched. He pitched a lot more innings. He pitched 60 more innings or so than Conley last year. So there you go.
The ground ball rate, too, for Straley.
Yep.
Which I can't believe he got away with this in Cincinnati.
Right.
His ground ball rate was only 32%.
Oh, my God.
So yeah. Going to this park is going to help him. Like, I kept waiting for this guy. Like, his ERA was 3.76, but his FIP was 4.88. His xFIP was 5.02. I was waiting for this guy to collapse, and he never did.
No, never came back down to earth. Straley was a big-time prospect back in the day.
Yeah.
For Oakland, I think.
Yep.
28 years old now, right? He's not like a spring chicken anymore. It was cut last year, which is how he wound up on Cincinnati. Now traded for a couple of prospects. So nice job by the Reds and Straley getting his value bigger. And now Straley goes to Miami. He'll try to have a second consecutive good year.
Dan Straley, nice beard.
Nice beard. Full beard.
Yeah.
All right, let's try to make
What about his FIP? His FIP last year.
It was over five.
It was close to five, yeah.
Oh, no, over.
Oh, it was over five. Okay, I had it at 4.93. Okay, I'm looking at wrong numbers, whatever. But let me ask you this, Tone. Baseball, DFS, more cash game sport or better tournament sport? I would think baseball is better tournament sport.
I think you go either way. Uh-huh. I think you can go depending on, you know, what your bankroll situation is and things like that. I'll tell you what, you can get away with more in baseball because the variance is greater than any other sport. So you have a shot each and every time I put in. Like, if you have the situation which we have in basketball, like if Ron Baker gets a .25, you're not done in baseball.
Right, right? Yeah, right.
You can get out all the time.
Right.
So you're always in it. So you could say you could play tournaments and you feel like you always have a chance. But I think it's the same thing as that, you know what, if you play, depends on your risk variance as far as whether you want to play cash games or if you want to play tournaments.
And when it comes to DFS baseball.
Also speaking
like
of,
there's no room for error in basketball.
No, it's not.
No, it's not.
But here's the thing, but baseball throws things at you that you like. That kind of, I don't know, I think that makes you kind of like, oh boy, here we go again.
Right.
Like when the Rockies are home. You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah. Sure.
You have to have action in that game. You have to have exposure to that game.
Right.
But then at least once at homestand, it's going to be for naught.
Sure.
So it's hard to figure that part of it out. I almost feel like I'd rather play DFS baseball when the Rockies are on the road.
Mason.
Oh, I totally agree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Makes it more fun.
And then you got, the wind is blowing out at Wrigley. And everybody goes to Wrigley. And the score is 2-1. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And baseball is so much, so it's easy to fade.
Well, one of the misnomers in baseball that's been around for a while now is that Wrigley Field and Fenway Park are two hitter havens. If you look at the last 3-4 years, they're actually pitcher friendly. Now, that whole wind situation's crazy because the wind blows in almost 80% of the time at Wrigley Field. Fenway Park, they made some, about 10 years ago, they made some adjustments to the ballpark, and they upgraded. It's been pitcher-friendly since then.
There you go.
There you have it. How about that?
You wouldn't know that. If you just think about it, you would think Fenway Park would be excellent hitters.
Another piece of news here before we get to the DFS stuff for tonight. Jim Irsay tweeted out that Andrew Luck is recovering from successful outpatient surgery to fix a right shoulder injury that has lingered since 2015.
He will, for 2 years he's dealing with the shoulder.
He will be ready for season. Not training camp. It just says he'll be ready for season. It was an outpatient surgery. Should we care about this?
Do you think he went to a clinic?
Probably not.
I hear the LP.
Imagine you taking your children to the doctor and Andrew Luck sitting there with a crazy neck bed. Man, they got a lot of work to do, though. Before you even can worry about Luck, you got to worry about the pieces around Luck.
Yeah.
You feel what I'm saying? So you got... if you were to ask me...
Yes?
2 years ago...
Yeah.
You want to start an NFL franchise.
You would have said Andrew Luck.
I would have said Andrew Luck.
What would you say now?
I don't know if I would say Andrew Luck now.
What would you say now?
I hate to be a prisoner at the moment.
Can you tell me Dak Prescott?
No.
Thank God.
No, Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, I mean, but he's also a prick, though. You want to start your draft off with a prick?
If you win, everybody likes you.
Yeah. I just got so much faith in Andrew Luck. I don't have faith in the people around Andrew Luck, though.
Right.
But Yeah, I think you got to go even even with the age. Mm-hmm. I think you got to go Andrew Luck.
Sure.
I would have. I mean, excuse me. I said you got to go Aaron Rodgers. I would have literally said I would have went like Luck, Newton, Rodgers. Now it's Rodgers, and I don't care who's next. But that's also being a prisoner at the moment.
Sure. Aaron Rodgers, I mean, how old is Aaron Rodgers? What are you, 31?
I think he's 31 or 32.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. Andrew Luck, though, has a, you know, if he can get the pieces around him hitting, he has a bright, bright future. Mm-hmm. You put a golf lineup in, Greg?
No. Aaron Rodgers, 33 years old.
Okay.
Not a spring chicken anymore, by the way.
He was a backup for a long time.
Yes, he was. Yes, he was.
That's right. He certainly was. They don't do that no more.
Well, they tried with Jared Goff.
It
did.
Yeah, I remember Aaron Rodgers' first time getting a start.
Yeah,
it was against the Cowboys. He lit him up.
Sign of things to come.
Yeah, exactly. It's been going on for years now. Yeah. He's a tough guy to beat. When somebody was talking to me the other night about the game, and losing to Aaron Rodgers is like losing to Michael Jordan. It's kind of like, yeah, I know we lost. What are we going to do?
Tip of the cap?
I'm not tipping my cap to
Aaron
Rodgers. I'm not tipping my cap to Aaron Rodgers, but he's a great player playing great ball right now. But I'm not tipping my cap to Aaron Rodgers.
Now, do you ever, come with that? You wear a hat every day.
Just about, try to.
Now, how come?
It's part of the look? It's part of the fantasy executive thing.
Interesting. But it doesn't matter which hat you wear, you just got to wear a hat.
Yeah. I normally wear a fitted New Era baseball cap. I have hair, so I'm not trying to hide.
Are you losing your hair? Is that why you are losing your hair, huh? Is that
my daughter says, Daddy, you have a spot in the middle of your hair.
This is what it is.
No, but that's not why
that's
I wear
it. It's clearly
when I was 21 years old, I was wearing a hat. The hat is a part of the fantasy executive lore.
Well, but your daughter said you have a spot. Now you don't. Now you always wear a hat. Let's be honest.
I told her that she was crazy. I mean, she knows what she was talking about.
Yeah. I trust her over you.
And she said, Mommy, Daddy's losing his hair.
And then she checked your DMs.
No, I don't have to go through that no more, fellas. Those days are over. Everybody's
right.
Checking indeed the direct messages now.
We'll try to make this DMs loud.
All reading them.
And we'll get to the baseball starting at 9 a.m. Stick around. It's the Road Experts in the Morning here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. All right, Tony, you said a couple moments ago that John Wall was your favorite play of the day. Now that you are looking at the DFS site, does that remain true?
Oh, yeah. You look at John Wall taking on the New York Knicks, Derrick Rose in back-to-back games. You look at the Wizards in tonight's game. They have the third highest total out of the point guards. Tony Parker, Kyrie Irving have better point totals. I like John Wall the best. The second guy that I like, if you could try to fit him in, is Eric Bledsoe in a matchup against Kyrie Irving. He's $7,700. Both these guys are playable, Irving and Bledsoe, but he's $900 less on DraftKings, and on FanDuel, he's $400 left. Eric Bledsoe, all the offense goes through him. The Cavaliers are 22nd in the league at covering point guards.
At the point guard position, what about guys like Austin Rivers, Ray Felton? Chris Paul tonight. What about those guys?
If you need to save money tonight and you go a little cheaper, it's definitely Austin Rivers at $5,200 over at DraftKings and $5,600 on FanDuel. You look at them, they're 11th in the league against point guards. I like Austin Rivers. He controls the ball. He likes to put up points as well as get assists. It's going to be a big night for him.
What do you think about tonight using players from the Mavericks?
I don't like it. The Mavericks game tonight, we only have 5 games on the agenda. Miami game, 197, right?
And then total?
The next game is 205, and then we have 3 games at 219, 219 and a half, and 213.
Let's continue here Tony. Yep.
Seth Curry is the only one I look at with that price at $3,600, and I think it's a huge risk because you never know what his minutes are from one night to the next. But if you wanted it, and it'd be gambling a little, Curry would be the guy.
It's a lot of it's the blowout factor that comes into play tonight in some of these games also, because I'm looking at the Cavs, but you never know what the rotation and the minutes are going to be like, because they should pretty much they should more or less handle Phoenix.
You think so?
Yeah. Why not?
Yeah, you think so? You never know.
Interesting. Never know. Taking this first look at it, San Antonio a nice size favorite at home tonight too.
Well, I'll tell you what.
I don't bet on these games, but I would take the 12.5 points. Denver's really been playing well as of late, and they're putting up a lot of points. I really like to target this game out of all the games tonight. Mm-hmm. That total is 219.5. I think that it could eclipse 230 tonight in that contest.
Wow. Ooh, okay. That's good to know.
A lot of offense in that game.
Continuing on.
As long as it could stay within 10, you know, as long as it's not a blowout.
At the shooting guard position, you spoke about Dallas, Miami a second ago. Deion Waiters, 5,300 now for Miami. You know the minutes are going to be there. The shots won't always fall, but he plays close to 30 minutes a night. What do you think of Deion Waiters tonight?
He is my guy Benny calls him a chucker, right?
He throws the ball
no matter wherever he is and just fires away. I'm not in love with Deion Waiters tonight. There's a couple opportunities here.
Okay.
If you want the best guy that you're going to suit up regardless of price, it comes down to Bradley Beal.
Sure.
In that game with the whole situation with John Wall, and we'll mention every wizard, I think, tonight.
Probably.
And the second worst, Courtney Lee, as I talked about earlier, is worse at defense than Derrick Rose. So I think it's a great matchup for him. And your alternative is Devin Booker. Devin Booker, he's playing very well. They're the fifth worst team against two guards in the NBA. And you look at Booker, who's been playing, it was terrible to start the season. He put up 23 in his last game, fantasy points. But he had a 41, a 39, a 42. So three out of the last four games are monster games and seven times the value. I like that play right there.
Yeah, I know Baker will not be in my shooting guard spot tonight. I won't go that far.
Either.
Yeah, I'm not. I think it's between me at shooting guards between.
And then there's
Booker
one other
and
guy
Beal.
If you wanted to, yeah, if you really wanted to go low and you were just punting the position, Danny Green comes into play. He's $3,600, and you look at it. He put up 20 points in his last game, right? So that's seven. That's six times the value. He had 8, which will kill you. Then he had a 15, 18, 19, 18, and he's only $3,600 if you needed that salary and you needed to just throw away a guy.
I also like J.J. Redick at the shooting guard position against Minnesota. When CP3 goes down, he kind of seems to step up.
Yep, he'll get more of an offensive usage in this one. The two guys to me that are biggest, besides Austin Rivers that people don't talk about, is two guys that are already there, J.J. Redick and DeAndre Jordan.
Yep.
Both are going to get more
monsters
offense
yep.
in these games.
Yeah, 100%. Totally agree with you. Agree with you there. Small forward tonight, you got LeBron playing Phoenix. You got Kawhi against Denver. You go
both
back to Otto Porter.
Both in blowout situations. I'm looking at Morris.
What do you think here, Tom?
So this is opportunity cost to me, right? How many wizards can you play, right?
Right.
One question you got to ask, right? Can you just play the whole starting lineup? Well, to me, I like Kawhi over LeBron tonight. It's a game with a higher total, a weaker defense, and I'm going to save $1,100 on FanDuel, and I'm going to save $1,800 on DraftKings by going Kawhi, and they have the highest team total. So it gets down to those two plays. I'm going Kawhi.
Okay.
Now, if you don't have the money there and you're not playing that, Andrew Wiggins faces the team sixth worst against small forwards. He'd be a guy I'd play. And T.J. Warren at $4,000, if you wanted to go cheap in that game, would be the guy that I would try to save the money with tonight.
What about going back to Cuz?
Cuz, you know what? I actually don't think it's a bad play. He seems to have solidified himself. That's two games in a row where he's getting about the same amount of minutes.
Yeah.
We have to have Porzingis out. The same thing.
Right, of course.
With Carmelo Anthony tonight. You could play Carmelo in this contest. He's underpriced by far.
He's
at $7,700. But he's underpriced with Porzingis in there. If Porzingis is in there, remember, you can't play him.
power forward position. The Denver-San Antonio game is interesting because we know Wilson Chandler's not going to play. It seems like Gary Harris won't play. But they are playing San Antonio, not exactly the defense that they were. But they are playing San Antonio, a slower-paced game. What do you think of power forward Nikola Jokic here against San Antonio? What do you think of the Nuggets in general, Tony?
Oh, I love Nikolai Jokic, but whatever you want to use, a power forward, center, depending on where you play at, he's a guy that's in play. And you got to like Kenneth Faried as well.
Yes.
Because of the price tag at $5,200. Now, the thing is, he's giving away a lot of size if Aldridge covers him, but it doesn't seem to bother him, and he plays big. He's $5,200 on DraftKings, $5,600. On FanDuel, and you look at Fareed's numbers, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is a guy that all of a sudden got out of the doghouse and puts up a 32, a 33, a 27. And if you take Chandler out of the mix, I think there's a chance that we can get 35 minutes from him and put up 40 fantasy points.
There you go. We'll talk about the center position here. DeAndre Jordan, someone we mentioned. Cat, Carl Anthony Towns, yep. Hassan Whiteside, all in play tonight. All right, we take a break here. When we come back, we move on to the MLB. Tony's poll questions of the day coming up next here on the Roto Experts.